This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday night, and look who's back after a little trip. That guy, on to my left, Matt Eumanns from Parts Unknown. He is back, refreshed, and ready to handicap some college basketball. Matt, did the couple weeks off recharge your battery to get you into sweating out college hoops and the aggravation that comes?
Tim, not much happened in the 2 weeks I was gone.
That's true. To be honest. Just all of the, it was the perfect Matt Eumanns vacation because you missed basically every second of the Winter Olympics. And I know that that tore you up inside, but here you are. It's over, Matt. I know you're sad about it, but we move on.
I stayed home during my vacation. Stayed home, watched a lot of curling, did some sweeping, watered the plants, dusting, cleaning around the house, laundry, you know, things like that.
That's and what I fully envisioned Matt Eumanns' getaway to be.
It's great to be back. And it feels it's deja vu because the last time I was here on a Monday night with you, Kansas was home on a big Monday game.
Well, Darren Peterson be scrapped.
That was Arizona, Kansas.
Day
and
after
tonight
the Super Bowl.
Houston, Kansas.
Day after the Super Bowl. Yep. So it's like you never left us. You leave, and Kansas is playing a home game as a dog, and you come back, Kansas is playing a home game as a dog. So we will get into that here momentarily. We've got Louisville and North Carolina coming up. That should be tipping momentarily, of course. Caleb Wilson still out for the UNC Tar Heels. And this number, Matt, has gone up to, at FanDuel, 4.5 right now for the Louisville Cardinals. Consensus number sits at 3.5. I do not have a play on this game. Tried to make a case for North Carolina. Thought Saturday probably was a decent spot to back North Carolina. Didn't ultimately get there. The old, you know, fallen, you know, bounce back after losing the NC State game. This will be their fourth game since losing Caleb Wilson. Actually, their fifth game, beg your pardon, since losing Caleb Wilson. So we'll see how they do, but no Caleb Wilson tonight. Louisville coming off of a bounce back spot on Saturday after beating or losing to SMU playing Georgia Tech. So 3.5 consensus number, Matt. Anything for you in this one?
That's a little bit too high. I know Jensen Lewis, who's going to be on the show with us here in about 25 minutes, he played Louisville Moneyline tonight. I heard that on his show this morning. I don't disagree with that play. I'm not going to lay the points here, even though I don't have much interest in the dog either, because Caleb Wilson is he's going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. He's got about 20 points, 10 rebounds a game. The one weakness is he doesn't shoot the three at a high percentage, about 25%. But without Caleb Wilson, it's a different Tar Heels team. And look, these two teams are pretty weak defensively. I was thinking about betting over the total, but the total's jacked up to 163. So no play for me in this first game.
Both these teams, as of today, sitting on the 6 line or so. We'll talk some brackets later on in the show.
It is an important game. By the way, you're talking brackets for the ACC tournament. For these two teams, this is an important game tonight because you want to get that double bye, right, in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, that is massive to avoid the gauntlet of 4 games and 4 days in the ACC tournament. So projections right now, both hovering around a 6 line in the NCAA tournament. Rocco Miller, by the way, bracketologist, will join us later on in the program. He'll give us his thoughts of where we sit right now after the weekend came and went. Want to relive and recap the weekend. It was a crazy weekend in college basketball. Michigan and Duke lived up to the hype. The Duke Blue Devils get the win in Washington, D.C. over Michigan, Arizona, and Houston. Arizona is able to top the Houston Cougars. And that leads us to, Matt, the game later tonight on Big Monday. Houston on the road at Phog Allen. And wouldn't you know it, just like it was 2 weeks ago when you were sitting next to me, that is our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
The Houston Cougars, Matt, have dropped 2 in a row, and Kansas embarrassed over the weekend by Cincinnati as a double-digit home favorite. The Kansas Jayhawks were, and clearly a look-ahead spot. Bill Self tried to kind of push it to the side, saying we didn't bring our A game, called Cincinnati an NCAA tournament team. A interesting line, Kansas a home dog yet again. Doesn't happen all that often, but Matt, this is the fourth time this year that Kansas will be in the home dog role. They are 2-1 in said role so far this year. And of course, which has been mentioned many times, Bill Self's run on Big Monday, 40 and O straight up for Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks on Big Monday.
That's incredible, and so is this trend. How about this? Kansas has not lost consecutive home games since 1989. January, February 1989, the last time Kansas dropped two in a row at home. That's a total of 579 home games for Kansas between back-to-back home losses. And that is absolutely ridiculous that a team could go that long without losing back-to-back home games. There's a lot on the line here tonight. Kelvin Sampson trying not to lose three in a row. And for a guy who wins 30 games every year, you don't lose three in a row too often. So a lot of trends you can look at, but trends are not going to decide who wins the game tonight, Tim.
No doubt. And will we get a performance from Darren Peterson? Obviously, a lot of people talking about Darren Peterson. I know you've got a bet already in pocket regarding A.J. DeBanza being the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. And Darren Peterson under some scrutiny yet again after Wednesday's decision to check himself out against BYU. He did play, or that wasn't the BYU game, excuse me. He checked himself out in the BYU game, but he also checked himself out in the win against Oklahoma State. Played the entire game against Cincinnati, Matt. But what will we get from him tonight? I did put a small play on Kansas here, plus the two. It feels like people don't really want to back this Kansas team. They want to stay away from them. They lost two out of their last three. They were embarrassed, you know, at Iowa State just a little while ago. But feels like a bit of a buy low opportunity here on Kansas. Not a massive play, but I will take Kansas plus the two here at home. I hate going against Kelvin Sampson in Houston. You know, Houston is one of my favorite teams to bet on, especially in the futures market. It's dropping two in a row doesn't make me feel great about backing Kansas here, but I will play a small play on Kansas, and we'll see how this game goes live and see if there's some opportunities to bet this thing live.
Yeah, with Darren Peterson expected to play, and we think play most of the game tonight, I would lean Kansas here and take the two. There was 2.5 out there this morning. But we don't know for sure that Darren Peterson's going to play. I mean, how many times have we seen him check himself out in the second half and not finish the game? I do believe he feels the pressure and the criticism, the scrutiny. And I believe that you're going to see a pretty, I would say, determined effort from Darren Peterson tonight. I do think the did you read the Myron Metcalf story on ESPN.com? He's saying the right things, and Bill Self saying all the right things as well. Who knows where the truth lies there, but I think just reading between the lines when you read that story, if check it out on ESPN.com, it'd be worth your time. If you care about this issue, I think that it indicates that Darren Peterson's going to show up and play tonight. So I would lean Kansas. But, Tim, this is a live betting show, VSIN yep. Primetime. And when you have a number right around 1, 1.5, 2, a lot of times I feel like the best way to play it is live. So I'm going to live bet this game tonight and see if I can find a better spot to play it.
Regardless of what happens, Matt, I want to give you credit because a couple weeks ago, before your staycation where you tidied up the home front, A.J. DeBanza was plus 550 to be the number one overall pick at FanDuel,
right.
And Darren Peterson was minus 400. I think a lot of that was off of the Texas Tech game where he had a couple of the big shots, the game winner, ultimately the game winner. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about it. We said, this number is just too high. Ultimately, I did not get down on it. You did. Updated number, Matt, right now. Darren Peterson minus 125. A.J. DeBanza plus 130.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this a little bit more with Aaron Moore at 5:30 tonight. The professor, Aaron Moore, is the one that helped me get down on this bet because we don't have DraftKings in the state.
It was FanDuel, same thing.
FanDuel, yeah, same FanDuel, thing. DraftKings. FanDuel had the number up, and I was talking with Aaron this morning about it, and you look at the way this line has crashed, and it also coincides with A.J. DeBanza playing some outstanding basketball the past couple weeks. He nearly put up a triple-double in that win against Iowa State, probably played the best all-around game I've seen from any player this season, at least any top 10 type of player. So I think that number one draft pick's very much up for grabs. And that's also adding an element of intrigue to tonight's game because if Darren Peterson goes out there and lights it up, that might change that market a little bit. Now there's a long way to go before we get to the NBA draft. It's going to be a lot written and said before that draft and before that number one pick is made, so it's not that big a deal. But It is going to be interesting to see how Peterson plays tonight. And then, you know, in big games like this, he's got to step up. And if he does, he will solidify his case, or at least strengthen his case a little bit to be the number one pick. I hope that doesn't happen because I like A.J. DeBanza. And yeah. We'll, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more later in the show. But DeBanza at BYU and that win against Iowa State, you and I were both on BYU Saturday night. That was an extremely impressive performance by him.
29 points, 10 boards, 9 assists, only 2 turnovers in the game.
And lockdown defense on the other end of the floor.
You know, we talk so much about spots, and some people kind of scoff at him. Oh, what do you talk about spots, situational mm-hmm. spots? That was a home run spot for BYU. It was desperate. They were at home late night. Iowa State was coming off some big wins, and they were catching a small number at home. So glad that BYU was able to come home on Saturday night. Saturday was great. A whole weekend was really impressive for college basketball. We'll give some thoughts on that. Speaking of our lineup today, and you mentioned Jensen Lewis. He's going to join us bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming Major League Baseball season. We'll go behind the counter. How did DraftKings fare in the United States? 2-1 overtime win over Canada to wrap up the Winter Olympics. Aaron Moore, the professor on college basketball, and we'll hit on some bracketology later in the show. It is a live betting show, so quick update from North Carolina. Louisville, a 3-point lead, 14-11, 14 and change to go in the first half. Matt Humans is back. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime. We continue to look back at the weekend that was, takeaways from a busy week of college basketball.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime. Things underway down at the Dean Dome. Louisville off to a hot start shooting. They lead 23-13. Live number right now is 7.5 as UNC is going to hit a 3 on this possession here. So the Tar Heels cut the deficit down to 7. This game closed 3.5 at most books, 4.5. at one other national shop. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. We'll look ahead to a very busy and interesting Tuesday card later on in the show. Of course, our game of the night has number five Houston, on the road at Kansas. Houston losing their last two games, both very challenging games, going on the road to Arizona and losing to Iowa State last Monday night. You weren't here for that game. Me and Will Hill were head to head on that one. Mm-hmm. I was on Houston, and at a point in time could have got off of that bet, did not do so. Did take Houston early on in that one, so I did get in live, but a missed offensive rebound, Matt, secures the cover from a Monday night win for Iowa State. But man, this past weekend, Matt, was quite impressive. Speaking of Houston, they were at home. They lose to Arizona. Arizona didn't have Koa Pete, but they were still able to win that game 73-66. It feels like right now, Matt, as we look at it, three of the number one seeds are in pretty, I want to say locked, but are in pretty good shape of being Michigan, Duke, and Arizona. Mm-hmm. That fourth number one seed is definitely up in the air. It could be Houston. It could be UConn. It could be Iowa State. We'll see who else enters the picture there. But Duke beating Michigan, Arizona winning at Houston. Any big takeaways for you from those two games?
No, I thought Michigan was in a little bit of a difficult spot after the big win at Purdue on last Tuesday, right?
Tuesday night, yep.
Because the Wolverines could not have played much better.
Oh, they were spectacular.
Night. You know, there was no team that was going to beat them that night. And when you play an A-plus game or an A game, it's tough to do it back-to-back, especially in high-profile games like that. And they're on the road on the East Coast. I know it's a neutral court game, but again, it kind of felt like a home game or at least a semi-home game for Duke. And the Blue Devils, I'll tell you this, Coach K was not a guy who emphasized defense. John Shire has proven to be a little bit different. This Duke team, and we saw some of it last year, but this Duke team is playing much better defense than they have in the past. And I was really impressed by the way the Blue Devils kind of locked down Michigan on the offensive end. Now, again, it's a Michigan team that shot, 13 for 23 from three against Purdue, and then 6 for 25 against Duke.
Got some regression there.
Right, some shooting, three-point shooting regression, but also Duke did a better job defending the three-point line than Purdue did. So I was impressed by Duke's win. I thought the Houston-Iowa State game a week ago was kind of a wash because, to be honest, when you watched it, Houston was a better team for the majority of the game and should have won it.
17-4 run for Iowa State to close out the game. That just doesn't happen against Kelvin Sampson's
squads. You know why it happened?
Hilton Magic?
Well, it happened also because there were a couple calls I thought that went against Houston. You probably remember those.
Oh, yeah.
A couple calls that went against the Cougars. But also, if you get Kelvin Sampson's team and you force them into play in half-court offense, they're not very good. And if you notice at the end of that game, Iowa State was forcing Houston into a lot of half-court offense possessions, and they couldn't score. And that's why the Cyclones made that run to win the game, but I think they were a little bit fortunate to win that game. So what was the other game you asked about? We had so many high-profile games. Arizona-Houston?
Arizona-Houston on Saturday.
I was surprised that Houston lost that game.
Yeah, they went five-and-a-half-point favorites, Houston? Yeah.
I liked Houston in that game, but Coa Pete was out, and that was the main reason I liked Houston. I thought that, the Cougars, who are not especially strong inside, they don't really have a low-post scoring presence. I thought with Coa Pete out, that would be the advantage they needed. But again, it didn't matter. And a very impressive win for the Wildcats on the road. I think if Houston wins tonight, Cougars probably in line for that fourth number one seed. But they really got to win this game tonight and avoid three consecutive losses. So I'll tell you, we've had a bunch of high-profile college hoops games in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, they've continued to live up to the billing, there's no doubt. Kansas, as we discussed in the open, they get blown out by Cincinnati. Cincinnati, surprisingly here, Wes Miller's squad is playing some pretty good basketball. Not that they should go into Fog Allen and hand Kansas, I believe, their worst defeat ever against an unranked team, 84-68. That said, you look at the Cincinnati team, Matt, could be a fun bet on team moving forward. Now, they go on the road to Texas Tech tomorrow night. How is that going to be without JT Toppin? What a massive blow for the Red Raiders. But you look at the remaining games here for Cincinnati. They get Oklahoma State at home. Then they get BYU next week at home. They finish up against TCU. Wes Miller's squad has now won four in a row, and they've won three of those four in pretty dominant fashion. They're the ones that led to Jerome Tang losing his mind after his team got blown out on their home floor. So apparently they love going to Kansas, as they beat Kansas State by 29 and then followed it up by beating Kansas by 16.
How about Wes Miller, too? It looked like the Cincinnati Bearcats had hit rock bottom. Did he have tears in his eyes?
Was he one of them?
Huh?
There were a couple. Penny Hardaway was crying after the Utah State
I thought
game.
Wes Miller was crying when he would apologize to fans for their sorry performances, and then boom, Bearcats get things turned around. But anyway, Louisville up 23-18 on North Carolina right now. The live line, Cards -5.5. Live total 164.5, so that really has not moved.
Quick update from our game of the night, Houston and Kansas. A couple shops have shown 2.5s. FanDuel and it looks like a couple other spots have popped 2.5. Circa still sits 2. The rest of the market pretty much at 2. DraftKings at 1.5. I did take a little piece of Kansas. +2, and we'll see how the game starts. But pretty big spot for both these teams. I like that the situation may be slightly better for Kansas coming off the embarrassing loss, but you mentioned it. Kelvin Sampson with the chance of losing three in a row, it just doesn't happen really ever for Kelvin Sampson.
That's why I said I would lean Kansas here. I almost took the 2.5 this morning, but I said, this is probably a better live betting game tonight. I just don't feel comfortable betting against Kelvin Sampson when he's dropped back-to-back games. And actually, Houston's had some success against Kansas in the past couple of years, too. Let's take a look at our primetime game of the night. VSIM Pro Picks. Tim Murray, Kansas +2. Tim, who's on your side here?
I got Mitch Moss and Jensen Lewis. Jensen Lewis is going to be joining us in less than 10 minutes. Dustin Sweetelson, who you'll catch later tonight. Maybe he'll be sweating out his under 138 when he joins when his show hits the airwaves. And JVT will be my mortal enemy tonight as he has laid 1.5 with the Houston Cougars here. So there you go. 5 selections for tonight's primetime game of the night. Mitch Moss, Kansas money line. JVT Houston laying the short number. I'm on Kansas plus the 2. Dustin Sweetelson under 138. And Jensen Lewis at Kansas plus 2 as well.
At least 3 of those handicappers, JVT, Tim Murray, and Dustin Sweetelson, will be part of the 4th annual Circa College Hoops Challenge, which is going to be back. It's going to start this weekend. We'll talk about it a lot on the Friday night show, but again, Saturday morning is when all the picks were going to be announced on your show.
Yeah, VSiN Weekend Morning Line during the 11 a.m. Eastern Hour. Matt Eumanns will join the program like he always does, and we'll get as many picks your way as possible. We'll get a couple of those contestants on as well. Paul Stone, the defending champ. Yep. Our previous champions, Will Hill, won the first ever. David Dineen won it 2 years ago, and last year was Paul Stone. I finished second, runner-up, and got my Dom DeMarco's gift card. Did not get the grand prize of a stadium swim cabana or an evening at Barry's.
That was Paul Stone picked the stadium swim cabana,
which was an upset to me. I thought it was 100% going to be Barry's.
I believe we watched the Notre Dame Miami football game from the cabana.
Oh, thanks.
You were at the game.
I was there.
You could not attend the stadium swim party. But yeah, actually, in honor of Dom DeMarco's, I brought some food into studio tonight because I knew that a lot of people were going to be unhappy to see me back. So I wanted to bring food to. Lighten the mood a little bit and then put a smile on people's faces.
Matt, I want to put a smile on your face.
By the way, did you use Dom DeMarco's gift card yet?
I haven't used it yet.
Oh, okay.
I talked to Al. He has given me the grace period. So I made a deal with JVT that we would kind of split it, and we haven't picked a date yet. So we got to figure out time to go to Dom DeMarco's. But I will be there, and I certainly have enjoyed my fair share of Dom DeMarco's throughout the football season on Monday and Thursday nights. So, can't wait to handicap Tuesday night's card, and the contest is back. So looking forward to that. Speaking of college hoops, Matt, how about this deal we've got over at VSiN.com? We're offering our Hoops Mania special. Get VSiN Pro access from now through May 1st for just $29.99. With VSiN Pro, you'll get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests. You'll get all our selections in the Circa College Hoops Challenge as well. Real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, 24/7 video and full show replay on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, our March Mania betting guide, including team profiles for every tournament team, key trends for each round. If you're betting the tournament, this is a must. VSiN.com/subscribe. Our baseball guide is also out, and Jensen Lewis was a big part of that. He joins us next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. We went to break talking about our Hoops Mania special that is out right now, $29.99. You get everything we have to offer through May 1st. And with that, you also get our MLB betting guide that Adam Burke and Jensen Lewis put a ton of hard work into. And Jensen Lewis joins us right now. You can catch Jensen and Super Dave every morning here on the network from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. Jensen, I was telling you briefly off air that I just went down to spring training, caught a couple of games, Cubs facility, Diamondbacks facility. Both are gorgeous. Both had great crowds. So I want to start in the NL Central. I'm curious your perspective on what to expect. The Cubs are the favorites, but it's just every year you expect the Brewers, oh, this is going to be a year that drop off. And then, lo and behold, they win the division. Curious your thoughts on the NL Central and what you also expect from maybe a team like the Cincinnati Reds. Could they pull out the win in this division?
Great to be with you, boys. Welcome back, Maddie. Great to have you as well. And yeah, I think the Central could be a bit more tightly contested, especially at the top. And yeah, I would agree with you, Tim, that I think third time might be the charm here, that Pat Murphy will not be able to get that Manager of the Year award. He'd rather trade that for a trip to the World Series. But make no mistake about it, I think the loss of Freddie Peralta definitely leaves a bit of a hole there, albeit that rotation is very solid, Tim, and I think they're going to have a lot of that youth movement. Jacob Mizorowski, Quinn Priester, really taking huge steps forward. Hopefully the Sage veteran and Brandon Woodruff can find health and happiness. Back into their bullpen will always be a force. Can they recreate the offensive outburst that they had this past season? I would expect some regression there. You mentioned the Cubs as the favorite. I think that's the right installation as far as their odds, seeing plus $1.20 there, what you guys are looking at. I think they did an absolutely outstanding job of reinforcing the back end of their bullpen. Phil Maton, Hunter Harvey, Jacob Webb, Homie Milner is going to be a great left-handed addition, all setting up for Daniel Palencia. But I think it's going to be the health of Cade Horton, the trade of Edward Cabrera in supporting Matthew Boyd, Shota Imanaga, and you'll get Justin Steele back too. It's addition by subtraction in my mind, guys, by losing Kyle Tucker and getting Alex Bregman. You saw just a year ago what he did to not only the young players, but the veterans in Boston. I think he brings that same demeanor, that same win now attitude, and will really rub off on Craig Counsell's group. The team that I had the strongest take for, maybe the boldest take, if you will, the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think I had written in the guide, believe it when you see it, that this is a top five rotation when it's all said and done. As long, and I know we say this about a lot of different teams, if health can be on their side, the youth and the amount of firepower that they have behind all-world Paul Skenes, what Mitch Keller's put together, Braxton Ashcraft, Bubba Chandler, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. The offense finally, guys, gets some influx there, getting Brandon Lau, Ryan O'Hearn, Marcelo Zuna. It's a much different lineup and a much deeper lineup, guys, that people will have to contend with when they go into Pittsburgh.
How about that? Some Pirates hype from Jensen Lewis. They don't get a lot of Pirates hype, but I get it now. By the way, don't give away all your secrets. I believe here in about 10 days, we're going to have a VSiN MLB futures draft. If Steve Cohen here at VSiN's putting that together. We had the NFL futures draft, and when did we have that, Tim? Was that late August, early
September? Yeah, right before the season, yeah.
Right before the season. Actually, all three of us fared pretty well in that NFL draft. Jensen, you I assume you've got some secret long shots you're going to hold back for that draft, right?
I think so, Matty. And one of those might be looking at the Detroit Tigers. And I know there's a lot of people. I know Adam Burke, very bullish on what they have in their offseason. Of course, you get Framber Valdez in support of Tarek Skubal. Might be the best 1-2 punch on paper, at least in the American League. And that's saying something, knowing what we just saw with the Seattle Mariners. When the New York Yankees finally get healthy with their rotation arms, getting Gerrit Cole back atop that with Max Fried. I just feel that Detroit's offense, guys, I think the hangover is real. And having watched enough American League Central Baseball, the team that can score four runs a night usually wins the division. That was the Tigers in April and May of this past year. Boy, oh boy, did it evaporate in a big way in August and especially a September to forget. And you guys know it as well as I do. The historic collapse by Detroit, 15.5 game lead over the Cleveland Guardians. That ends up going away, and they lose the division on the final day as Brian Rocchio hits a walk-off homer for the Guardians to win. Here's what I'm concerned about with the Tigers. I don't know if we get a third installment here of Tarek Skubal being able to run it back with all the leverage innings that he's had, not only in the regular season, but how much A.J. Hinch has really relied on him in the last couple of postseasons. I know that the news came out today, guys, and I'm very intrigued to see how it plays out. Tarek Skubal is going to make one start for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic, and then he's going to return to spring training there in Lakeland. And I think a lot of that by design, and I'm sure that Scott Boras and company have been in his ear and say, and in no uncertain terms, will you risk yourself knowing you're going to get upwards of $450 million potentially in free agency? So understanding that you're balancing, you want to play for your country, love it. We're on the heels of, winning the hockey gold medal for both the women and the men. But in the World Baseball Classic format, guys, it's not like hockey where you're in the middle of your year. You're already built up. You've already got that stamina and that strength. This has always been a precarious spot here, especially for pitchers. And so to me, I think there's a real potential that Tarek Skubal could jeopardize or at least be in jeopardy of an arm injury maybe midway through the year. Now, obviously, we hope everyone stays healthy, but that wouldn't surprise me. He got nicked up a little bit in the second half last year, was able to pitch through it. But I think Detroit is a little more vulnerable offensively this year than people realize. And I think the secret's out. Do they have a lot of great young talent? Absolutely. Do they have great pitching? No question about it. I think the Central could be for the taking for the Kansas City Royals this year. That's the team I would target atop the AL Central.
Right, write that down for the futures draft here in 10 days. Might take the Royals. Jensen Lewis, how about the 2 years ago, the Yankees lost to the Dodgers in the World Series. Last year, the Blue Jays. Are you going to pick another team from the AL East this year? Is Baltimore going to be the sleeper?
I think Baltimore's got a great chance, Matt, to win the division. And my bold take in our media guide was that Pete Alonso would hit 40-plus homers and they'd win it. And I would really feel great about their bounce-back capability. Sometimes you need that aircraft carrier, if you will, that force to be reckoned with in the middle. And that's what you get in Pete Alonso. Even better is that Gunnar Henderson, who is an MVP candidate in his own right the last couple of years, and Tim knows from being in this area, that kind of hype back east and knowing what that fortitude could be from a young core. It was Gunnar Henderson's team moving forward. Well, now he's got, you know, a partner in crime, and you get Taylor Ward potentially as a leadoff man there. Now, guys, that's pretty damn good. And if you're looking to play some run first inning props for the Baltimore Orioles this year, if they run out Ward, Henderson, and Alonso in their top three, that's going to be a lot of early leads for this pitching staff. I think a lot is predicated on two things. Number one, can you get Kyle Bradish healthy for the year and back to the top of the rotation arm that he can? And in tandem, have Trevor Rogers take what he did last year finishing the season and be able to keep that in kind to start 2026. The other part of it, we know in the Beast of the East, guys, you got to have a deep bullpen. You got to have a lot of swing and miss. Will Ryan Helsley, with a little change of scenery and be able to kind of catch his breath, be back to the St. Louis version of Helsley to close out games? Andrew Kittredge is a nice add there in front of Keegan Aiken as well. I think Baltimore is going to have an opportunity to add at the deadline, but I think this offense finally bounces back. Just a year or so ago, we looked at them as like, that's the breakout team. I think they finally find their way this year in 2026.
Final minute or so, Jensen Lewis joining us here. Make sure you check out the MLB betting guide available now. Great stuff from him and Adam Burke. Seattle Mariners never have won the AL pennant. They've been a franchise since 1977. Oh, so close last year. Game 7, they fall to the Blue Jays. Do they get it done this year? Do they finally reach the World Series?
I'm very bullish on it, Tim. And, and just kind of a quick synopsis, it's arguably the best rotation in all of baseball, or at least in the American League, comparing obviously to what the Dodgers have over in the National League. Back into the bullpen, as good as it gets, and they add a huge power arm in a trade with the Nationals and Jose Ferrer. It's the Brendan Donovan acquisition that really has me excited. That is a true leadoff man that can set the table for the MVP, or at least I thought he should have been in Cal Raleigh. Julio Rodriguez, Josh Naylor re-signs there. Randy Arozarena back into that lineup too. Look for Cole Young to be a guy that could really, really be one of those young stars that absolutely shines here early on in 2026.
Jensen, much appreciated. And you and I are riding with Rock Chalk Jayhawk tonight. So let's get a basketball winner as well.
Love it, boys. Always great to be with you. Thanks.
There he is. Jensen Lewis. Catch him bright and early every weekday morning with Super Dave. And he's got some great stuff, some bold predictions over on the VSiN MLB betting guide.
I'll be on with Jensen and Super Dave at 4:30 Pacific tomorrow morning as back in that usual spot. I do not have any bold predictions for the baseball season yet, but I'm going to work on some. You?
I placed a couple of bets today.
Well, you got the Nationals to win the World Series. What else?
I don't like to light money on fire. Good God. Nationals have the worst record in baseball. Now that might be an interesting angle to look at. It is VSiN Primetime. Mm-hmm.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good one down in Chapel Hill, Matt. It was once a 10-point lead, and you could have got. Who was on vacation for 2 weeks? You or me?
Just say grab. Could have grabbed 8.5 points with the Tar Heels.
There you go.
Now it's 2.5. Louisville up 38-37, 1 minute to go in the first half. Carolina did briefly take the lead after being down 10. The total stayed right about the same, 162.5.
38-37, minute to go in this one. And Matt, you had a bit of a lean towards the over. And like you said, right now we're kind of on pace for that total. First half number was 77.5, and we've got 75 first half points. So
with 1 minute to go.
Yeah. So pretty spot on there. Some good situational spots. We'll dive into those a little bit later on in the show. We'll go behind the counter. How did DraftKings fare from a busy weekend of hoops? How is it lining up tonight with a big one between Houston and Kansas? And Johnny let us know a couple weeks ago that the folks were betting the Olympics, and how did the gold medal game get bet? So we'll dive into that with our good friend Johnny Avello coming up here in just a little bit. But our game of the night, Matt, is Houston and Kansas. Right now, FanDuel and DraftKings both sitting at 2.5, albeit juiced. You have to lay about $1.20 if you want Kansas plus the 2.5. I have 2 in pocket. Matt, you're going to wait until we go in game, which makes some sense with a low total, with a low number like that. You're probably going to have an opportunity to grab a better number on depending on what side you want. But a unique situation brewing in this one, because you had Kansas coming off of the embarrassment on Saturday, losing as a double-digit favorite against Cincinnati. And then you had Houston losing a second straight game, losing at home as a favorite against Arizona without Koa Pete.
Surprising.
Kelvin Sampson was asked about the loss and what it means to him as they've dropped 2 in a row heading into this showdown against Kansas.
Losing has never bothered me that much, because losing is part of the journey. You're going to lose games. Now, we win around here so much, sometimes you forget that we can lose too. When you're winning 30 some games, 4 or 5 years in a row, and you know, you're winning the conference championship in one conference, you flip conference, you're still winning, you know, you assume that it's easy. It's not, you know, we could have easily won we certainly could have won the Tennessee game. I certainly could have won the Texas Tech game. We're leading late both of those games. Same with Iowa State. But when you're playing for these stakes at this high level, and the other teams are just as good as you are, sometimes it comes down to little things.
The Big 12 backloaded their schedule, so the perceived best teams preseason are playing pretty gauntlet here down the stretch, Matt. I went back and I looked. The last time Houston dropped 2 in a row, not that long ago, the 2024 season, they lost to Iowa State on the road, TCU on the road. They came back home and they beat Texas Tech by 23. And then in 2022, Matt, they actually lost back-to-back American Conference games. They got upset by SMU on the road and then lost to Memphis at home. They followed that up with a win over UCF at home by 18. Now, the difference is both of those instances, they were at home. Tonight, of course, they're at one of the most difficult arenas in college basketball, Fog Allen, and they're a short favorite here.
I would say the most difficult arena. It's Kansas or Duke, I guess off the heels of the Jayhawks' loss to Cincinnati over the weekend. You would say Duke might be a tougher home venue, but Kansas has got the best environment for home games. It's about double the size of Cameron Indoor, where Duke plays. And remember 2 weeks ago on a Monday how electric that atmosphere was for that Arizona game. Darren Peterson did not play that night. Kansas still won the game. Kelvin Sampson, not a coach you want to bet against. Look, when he took over at Houston in 2014, that program was near rock bottom. They went 13-19 in his first season. He got that thing turned around quickly. Like I say, he's been there now, about 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
The last, actually, been there 11 years. Last 4 years, 35-5, 32-5, 33-3, 32-6. And the 3 years before that, 28, 23, and 33 wins. This is not a coach that's going to lose three games in a row very often at all. And I don't want to bet against them tonight. I lean Kansas here, but I'm going to live bet this game, see if there's an opportunity that pops up at some point. It's these two teams are a bit difficult to handicap because Houston has probably a top 10 draft pick, too, in Kingston Fleming, the freshman guard.
He's special, man. Right? Fleming's special.
He's a lot like Darren Peterson, but Fleming's is more reliable. I think you know what you're going to get from him. Houston is a team that crashes the boards, defends very well, but they don't execute very effectively or efficiently in a half-court offense. And, you know, this could end up being a grinder of a game tonight, but I did not play the total either. The total is 138.5 here at Circa.
We showed
it was bet up just a little bit. It looked like the opener was around 135.5.
We showed some of our best bets for the VSiN family over at VSiN.com/picks for our game of the night. And Dustin Sweetelson, who will be on laughter after us on cashing out, he likes the under, so that number has ticked up a little bit. We just talked to Jensen Lewis. He likes the Jayhawks. JVT, he is riding with the Houston Cougars, so he is the lone man riding with Houston. And over at VSiN.com, Matt, you don't get this too often. If you look at our betting splits for this game, the public not riding with the Kansas Jayhawks. How about this? Right now at DraftKings, and we'll get more from Johnny Avello here, top of the hour. Right now, our betting splits over at VSiN.com, 71% of bets on Houston minus the 2.5, 29% on Kansas. Money line a little bit closer. And I guess if you are to bet Kansas, most people would rather play the plus money on the money line, like Mitch is doing there with his bet. But 58% of bets on Houston on the money line and 42% of the bets on Kansas. So the public is leaning much more towards Houston in this one on the road against the Kansas Jayhawks, fresh off of a double-digit loss to the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Well, the public does tend to lean toward the favorite most times.
And you know, short road favorites is kind of their kryptonite.
Short road favorites. And Kelvin Sampson off back-to-back losses, probably a pretty good spot to bet on him here tonight. But again, I think the situations for both teams, you want to back Kansas, you want to back Houston. You want to back both these coaches in this situation. Yeah. Sampson off back-to-back losses, Bill Self on Big Monday, and Bill Self not losing back-to-back home games. It's just, I think it's going to probably come down to which freshman star is better tonight, Darren Peterson or Kingston Flemings.
2 weeks ago, you were sitting right next to me, and you were not thrilled when the news came out that Darren Peterson was scratched, and yet the Kansas Jayhawks rose up without their stud freshman, played great interior defense, stunned Arizona, handed them their first loss of the season. This courtesy of our buddy Evan Abrams over at the Action Network, Matt. Kansas hasn't lost consecutive home games. You mentioned this to start the show. Since losing four in a row at home back in January to February of 1989, that is a total of 579 home games for Kansas between back-to-back home losses. You've got some strong trends on both sides. You've got, as you mentioned, the Bill Self Big Monday thing, 40-0 on Big Monday, and just the simple fact that Kelvin Sampson doesn't lose three games in a row almost ever. I mean, that the team doesn't lose all that often, so it's hard to lose four in a row. And the last two instances of them losing back-to-back games, they won by double digits, albeit at home in 2022 and 2024.
Well, Tim, we've got two big games tonight, not counting the Kings-Grizzlies. And updating right now, college hoops, North Carolina up on Louisville 39-38. And we are at half. Live line, Louisville minus 2.5. Live total 162.5, minus 154 on the money line. So not much change from where we started tonight, even though Louisville is now a smaller favorite for the game. Pretty impressive performance here, I think, from Carolina. Yep. Don't forget, Caleb Wilson. Again, we're talking about another guy who's going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. He's out tonight for the Tar Heels, about 20 points, 10 rebounds a game. He's a legit star. He's out, and the Tar Heels so far playing pretty well without him.
Shooting so far in this game for North Carolina, 17 of 28 from the field, but 3 of 10 from long range. So if you tweak that, 14 of 18 from inside the arc. So a strong presence inside for North Carolina, and Louisville doing what they tend to do, shoot a ton of threes. 21 three-pointers attempted. Mykel Brown, the stud freshman, has 13 points in the first half for Louisville. As Matt mentioned, 39-38, your halftime score. How about the total in the first half, Matt? Some spots had 60 or 76 and a half. Here at Circa, 77 and a half. Where does it land? Right smack dab in the middle. 77 first half points. Right now, Louisville, a 2.5-point favorite, trailing by one at the break. We go behind the counter with Johnny Avello. How did DraftKings fare with the United States beating Canada yesterday in overtime?